Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
So we had been discussing chapter 14, Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga, Yoga of Three Gunas. So we have seen so far that these three gunas are born out of Prakriti. They are actually basically the nature of Prakriti to have these three gunas. And the nature gets it from Maya. As Vedanta says, and Bhagavan Sankara Tattva Bodh says, Tri Gunatmika Maya. This Maya has three gunas. And what is Maya? Yama Sa Maya. That which is not but appears to be that is Maya. So this Maya which creates this illusion that this world is real, creates by these three qualities which binds our mind. How do we see hologram? The question is hologram real? The hologram has its own reality. However, it is not what it appears to be. If I see a hologram of a woman, hologram is real, but the woman is not. So from that perspective, is this Prakriti real? Prakriti is very real, but it is not what it appears to be. We have all obviously learnt in physics by this time that the atom which appears to be solid has no real solid matter in it whatsoever. But it is very real from my perspective because it has a relative reality. So Bhagavan says in this chapter that all the beings which are born in this world are born from the womb of Mother Nature, Prakriti. And I, this consciousness, I, the Self, Supreme Self, Purusha, is the seed-giving Father. The entire Prakriti, an entire creation that we know, is born of the same entity. The Self as the Purusha is the Father, and the Prakriti, the nature, as we know, is the Mother. This Prakriti has three gunas which bind the Purusha into the Prakriti. This union between the Prakriti and Purusha happens because of three gunas in the Prakriti. And when that occurs, a being is born. An ego is conditioned. A consciousness is conditioned into, as we have seen in this analogy, a room space. When a building is built, it binds the space into it and the association creates a room space. The same way Bhagavan said, when this Purusha comes in contact with the Prakriti, a conditioned ego is born. You know. Three gunas we have seen is Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. Classic classification we have heard over and over again. Sattva is the nature of purity, light, knowledge, illumination. Rajas, activity, passion, attachment, and tamas, ignorance, inertia. And then we have seen each one how it binds this consciousness, which is pure and pristine in its nature. Once comes in association with the Prakriti, it binds itself to the Prakriti and creates a new conditioned being. So the verse 9, 10, and 11 gives us this relationship. Sattva binds you to happiness, this embodied one, this consciousness which it feels like embodied in myself is bound by the nature of this field. And we have seen this field is idam shariram kshetram iti abhidhiyate. This body is the field. This field with having its three qualities bind the consciousness in me by its quality of sattva to happiness. Something happens, I figure it out, I come to know, I enjoy that experience, binds them. Rajas to the activity, the passion, attachment creates desires, creates activity. And more I do it, more I achieve it, more I get bound. More and more I do stuff. I think, as I give an example, when I left India, I had a very clear goal. If I make 100,000 rupees, I'll be back to India and start practicing architecture there in Ahmedabad. I made 100,000 rupees long time ago. And I'm still outside India. Rajas binds you to activity. More we do, more I want to do it. So, and then tamas, to ignorance, inertia. All three are absolutely necessary for this prakriti to exist. Just as whatever the ingredients of the hologram, which binds hologram into a form, which I perceive, has to have it. So the next three verses say, sattvam sukhe sanjayati rajah karmani bharata jnanam avrutyatu tamah pramade sanjayatyutaha. Summary of what we have already seen. It just, sattvam sukhe sanjayati, to the happiness and the pleasure, rajah to karmani, rajas to actions, and this knowledge about the self. The very fact I call myself, but I'm not aware of it. I can't define it. As we have seen this example, everything I use to define myself turns out to something which is related to myself, but not me. My name, my relationship, my profession, my achievements, my losses, whatever that is, but it's not me. What is it that does not let me figure out who I am? Tamas. Jnanam avritya tu tamaha pramade sanjayatyutaha. By pramada, heedlessness. My conscience tells me what is right. My self tells me who I am, but this pramada, heedlessness, no, it cannot be. Because when I woke up, how many, as Swamiji used to say, he said, I come here every year, because Swamiji, when Swamiji was alive, he used to come every year to United States and do yajna. Some of us were standard, you know, devotees were always there. He said, I'm glad that you guys are not listening to me. I come here, give you my knowledge, and at the last day, gather it and go back, you know. So that way, you keep me in business, because otherwise, once you understood, you have no need for me. This tamas, even though we hear, even though we understand, even though conscience tells us this should be right, but I don't think so, because not everybody else is doing it. So we get deluded by that tamas. So pramade sanjayati. So here is how he says that pure consciousness is bound into the prakriti. So now, further analysis of how these three gunas work. As we have said, these three gunas are inherent in all the prakriti. Tamas is not a negative quality of prakriti. It is the very essential nature of prakriti. For an atom to remain in solid state, for me to recognize the atom, atom has to have certain inertia in it, for me to see it as an atom. If I can start seeing it as electron and proton and neutron, the world will disappear, because there is no solid matter around. So the inertia, the tamas, is the essential quality of prakriti. So is the rajas and so is the sattva. Because we have tendency to classify with the higher, lower and middle. So we say, well, this is higher, this is lower. For prakriti, there is nothing like that. But what is really right is the right balance. So you see, how does a one particular quality of this maya binds me to this? Rajas tamah cha bi abhibhuyam sattvam bhavati bharata. Always then there are three qualities. One may be predominant at any given time, and the other two will be subsidiary. In how we recognize thing or being, what is the predominant quality? Well, yesterday such and such does that. Well, normally he's a very nice guy, but I don't know what happened to him yesterday. In other words, normally he has this predominance of being nice. Once in a while, not being nice predominates that. Any gunas obviously can have predominance over the other. When sattva predominates rajas and tamas, then the experience of sattva happens. Right now, I want to understand something, I focus on it, I close all my activity down, then the knowledge will take place and say the sattva is predominating. Everything is now clear to me. Raja sattvam tamascaiva, tamah sattvam rajastatha. Each one, when it predominates the other, then that quality becomes more apparent. We may have any dish, and if there is more salt, we'll say it's a salty dish. There may be a little sugar in it, all other things, but what is predominating, we call that. It's a salty, it's a sweet, but even the sweet has a lot of other ingredients and other taste in it. At times, sattva predominates, at times rajas, and at times tamas, in all beings, at least at the human beings. Our mind, associating with the Prakriti, gets these three qualities and associate with it. Whatever the qualities are attached most, that's what I'll say. So, all of us go to downtown Richmond and we come back and we describe. All of us will have a different description. So somebody like me will say, you know, the buildings are like this and the road. Each one will come back with a different impression because it is my mind associating with it. My mind experiencing this world of objects, whatever the qualities I pick up is what my mind predominates. There are times when I'll be dominated with sattva, there are times of rajas, there are times of tamas. Other two at that time are existing but in a subsidiary role. And the next verses gives you an experience of what happens. And when should I see that I'm under the influence of sattva? Sarva dvareshu dehe asmin prakash upajayate. If there's light coming out of all the gates of this body, the navadvare pure dehi, this body, the nine gates, from all the gates, and this basically we're talking about the sense perception, our gnanendriyaha, senses of perception, pancha gnanendriyas. Out of all these five gnanendriyas, when there's a light of knowledge is emitting, then I should know that jnanam yada tada vidya vivruddham sattvam iti uta. I'm seeing clearly what it is, I'm hearing clearly, I'm tasting right things. All that when I'm having experience of knowledge, experience of light, then it is indeed the experience of sattva. Then it may be known that sattva is predominant. There are times we are very clear about everything, there is no confusion in our mind, there is no strong passion or desire to do, but to know. And he said the sattva is predominant at the time. This is fairly logical and we all have experienced that. Somebody says, well, Neil, I waved at you so many times when I was passing by, you didn't see me. He said, you haven't looked at me but didn't acknowledge that I am there. So I felt bad. I said, oh, I didn't see you. I looked at him, but this eye was not having any experience of knowledge. It's not seeing it. In other words, that the mind wasn't there, and there was nowhere to acknowledge what I'm seeing. You know? There are times what people are telling you, we all spouses know. You know? Meena will get mad, you know. He said, I don't like the insult. I said, what insult? He said, I've been telling you for the last about 2 minutes and you're not paying. I said, no, I was paying attention, but I was doing something. You know, it happens to me almost 3 or 4 times a week. So, because my mind is somewhere else, she's continuing telling me what happened. And then after about 2 minutes, he realizes that I don't think he listens to anything that I say. No knowledge is taking place from my thought. So that's not sattva. That's obviously is my passion for something is taking my mind away. And it is so important for my mind to be there in everything. Once in a while I miss the verses which I turn. You know why? Because within that fraction of a second my mind goes someplace else while I'm chanting. Desperately seeking which verse I was chanting. But each verse ends with Guruve Namaha. Was on a second verse I was Guruve Namaha or the third verse on Guruve Namaha? You know, so. Because a fraction of a second, your mind lost it, the connection with. If that happens, it's not the sattva which is chanting. is rajas predominated, because something about something took over. Lobha pravrittyarambha. Now this is a pretty Indian concept, because it's very difficult for any Westerner to understand. Pravrittyarambha. If something I want to start, it's not sattva. Karmanam asamah spruha rajasyetani jayante vivruddhe bharata sabha. If this is happening, in the beginning Bhagavan said, I'm going to give you this knowledge which is so profound. Having known that, you will get rid of all your bondage and liberate yourself. Here is what he's telling us. He's saying, how to diagnose yourself, what your situation is. Otherwise, my mind constantly tells me, Neil is a very nice guy. It always says, I am a very sattvic person. But he said, you have to do self-diagnosis. You have to do it this way. The first one, he says, if there is knowledge coming out of all the gates. He didn't say only one gate or the other. All the gates. When I'm watching TV and Meena telling me something, my eyes are obviously having all the knowledge, but the ear, not listening. So it's this, all the gates when the knowledge is shining through. That means I'm hearing correctly, I'm seeing correctly, I'm tasting correctly. Everything is clear, no confusion, etc. When I'm completely attached to something and I ignore everything else around that. My standard example of dynamic man of action. And what did he do? Well, he completely ignored his family. Great, you know, all of these great artists, if you read their biography, you'll find that they were great people only in their one field. The rest was, they were zero. Frank Lloyd Wright, I don't know how many of you, if you may not be an architect, but if you are Ayn Rand fan, you have read Fountainhead. He was not a nice guy, but a brilliant, genius architect. When that happens, it is rajas, not sattva. Lobha, greed, I want to get as much as I can. Pravrittyarambha, constantly I should do this and also I should do this. Let me start this and halfway said, let me also do this. Pravrittyarambha. Pravritti can only, the action can only take passion and a desire for it. Karmanam asamaha, restlessness. I don't know why this half an hour or hour we are wasting here. We can be productive outside some. Telling you honestly, I grew up in a Brahmin family, and obviously I have all these relatives who are Brahmins, and some of them are obviously doing the jajman vritti, as we call it, you know. And I have taken a vow as a child, I will have nothing to do with this religious thing. So, because this is a complete waste of time, and this is what brings my country down. If these people, instead of this puja and all that, if they were engaged in something, an intellectual pursuit of gaining something, my country would be somewhere else. And here I am doing exactly what I vowed not to do. Karmanam asamaha, restlessness. You know, we can't sit down and say, let's think about it for a while. I say, no, let's go and do it. Pruha, that desire. Rajasya etani jayante. It's born out of rajas. When rajas is predominating, this kind of outward expression, you will say, of our own mind. This is for us not to judge others, because we are very good at saying, he is tamasic, he is rajasic, and he is sattvic. We have a complete label for other. It's for me to judge. And Swamiji gives a good example that, you know, artist sitting at the pond, and then if the guy's going by and saying, he's an idiot, you know, not doing anything, you know, right now. But then he found out he was the great thinker, he was figuring out great invention. I to label somebody with tamas or sattva is very difficult. It's only I can judge my own mind. Because when I think I'm in a sattva, my wife thinks I'm in tamas. And there's a very little difference from outwardly between sattva and tamas. So, but rajas is quite obvious. We'll stop right here.
Om sarve bhavantu sukhina, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.